Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. My name is Michael Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. Today is February 23rd, 2018, and I'm joined by Nicole Thomas, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
I am very well, Michael. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's Friday. Yeah, I've told my wife this morning I was going to finish this bathroom project this weekend, so I've got a lot to do.
Oh, good, good. So yeah. You're doing a little DIY, huh?
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, it's nearing the end of the Olympics, which I don't know. Previous podcasts, I talk about how quickly the Olympics go, and yeah. I think it's been a fun Olympics, and it's ending this weekend, and I'm just happy. For me, I was happy with Shaun White's performance.
Right.
I was happy that the U.S. women's hockey team beat Canada.
Yes.
It's been a great Olympics, and I've really enjoyed it. How about you? What do you like?
You know, Michael, I love the Winter Olympics. Because it's all these adrenaline junkies and they're doing sports and events that I would never try myself. And I have to say that what has become my favorite is the luge. And
luge.
All right.
Luge.
And specifically doubles luge. Now,
okay.
What I envision
doubles
in my
luge. I just.
You know, you have to chuckle at it because, first of all, I didn't know this event existed until the Olympics. But I can't help but think in my mind, how did they come up with this event to begin with? I mean, was there somebody on a mountain in Norway and there's a couple of guys there?
I'm sure it was.
And someone says, you know, there's an emergency at the bottom of the mountain, but we only have one sled and we have to get down the mountain really fast. And the other guy says, I've got a great idea. Let's both hop on this sled and go 80 miles per hour down the mountain and we can get there to the emergency quickly.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. Either that or they said, hey, we need more weight on this thing to go faster.
Right.
Get on this. And then the other guy was like, I'm not getting on that thing.
You're right. Exactly.
I'll walk.
Yeah. It's entertaining. I'll say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not willing to go 70 miles per hour on a sled, but
There was a couple accidents this time around, and boy, it looks very dangerous. But it's just been a fun time to watch, and sorry that it's almost over.
Right.
But hey, you wanted to talk about the soybean complex today, and I think a lot of our listeners are looking at the soybean complex and wanting some intel and factors driving the market. So why don't we do that? Let's start with soybeans and have you shift over to soybean meal and then soybean oil and where you expect things to go. So the floor is yours.
All right, great. Well, starting with soybeans, I think the major thing driving the market right now is some lingering concern about the Argentine soybean crop. And that's in spite of prospects for a pretty significant Brazilian crop of soybeans that could nearly completely offset the projected loss in production for Argentina. As it stands today, the Argentine export projection for 17-18 is still expected to increase versus last year by about 1 million metric tons. Now, obviously, that could change depending on what we see as harvest gets underway. Meanwhile, Brazilian exports are expected to rise by about 6 million metric tons from last year. So the weather concerns continue, but it has some folks wondering if it's much ado about nothing. But looking in the U.S., USDA has just released its estimates for 2018 acreage around 90 million acres. That's near parity with 2017. And the expectation is that ending stocks will actually rise in the U.S. in 2018-19. Can't say that I disagree with this. I've run the numbers a few times, and I have to take yield down to about 48 bushels per acre and increase exports to 2.2 billion million to get ending stocks below 500 million bushels. But based on what's more likely to happen, yield of at least 49 bushels per acre, barring some sort of weather issue, and lower soy exports than this year, not out of the question with strong exports from South America, we could see ending stocks approach 600 million bushels, and that's a lot of soybeans. So
that is a lot of soybeans. What do you do with all those soybeans?
Yeah, that's a good question. You crush them. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But in terms of the soybean market, this could, I'm not saying it is for sure, but it could be our last big bullish run for the near term ahead of more harvest progress in South America. So, you know, for those farmers out there, you may want to get a few sales on the books at these current levels. And unless we get a major weather issue or a major surprise in the prospective plantings report next month, we could see a prevailing bearish trend form in the longer term, depending on what happens with the second component of the soy complex.
And what's that?
So that's all about soybean meal. And in the case of meal, let's talk about soybean crush, because this could change that soy balance sheet a bit. And let me explain why. Now, one thing I think the market is wondering about is crush and what might be offering a little bit of apprehension to getting too bearish on the beans is that strong crush as a result of rising meal demand. And this is what ties into what's happening in Argentina and why that offset of production in Brazil isn't necessarily calming concerns. Now, although the U.S. is the second largest producer of soybean meal globally behind China, Argentina is the largest exporter. And in fact, Argentina accounts for a little less than half of global soybean meal exports. And although Brazil is producing more beans, they tend to be more inclined to export those soybeans as opposed to crushing them domestically for meal production. So in Brazil, you have a crushing of about 40% of its crop and exporting of the other 60%. You compare that to Argentina, where they've been crushing a little closer to 75% of their soy crop and exporting the remaining 25%. So the question then becomes, will Argentina need to import some beans from its neighbor? Mm-hmm. And if so, how much will that add in cost and ultimately add to export prices for soybean meal? And then there's also some indication that the U.S. meal crush capacity is pretty tight. Now, it's great to have all these beans, but can we crush all of them to meet that demand? And I ask that for three reasons. First, we have seen consolidation in domestic crush capacity over the last 8 years or so. Back when meal demand wasn't as strong and bean prices were quite high, there were a few facilities idle. Secondly, you do have more domestic capacity with at least some occasional campaigns for specialty meal and oil products like GM free. And third, there's something I think could actually offset these higher soybean yields per acre. Oil yields, so that's the yield of soybean oil per bushel of beans, has been averaging around 11.8 pounds per bushel in central Illinois for the last few weeks, according to some USDA weekly reports. In fact, this is one reason I think the market is growing concerned about capacity. So meal yields have been declining for a few years now in the U.S., while oil yields have been rising. So in essence, a processor has to crush more beans to get the same amount of meal. So add to that a few other factors like improving crush margins in China, so they will be hungry for beans, meat demand trending higher and livestock inventories expanding, and rising length in terms of speculative interest. So in soybeans, non-commercials are net long around 51,000 contracts. That's up by about 19,000 contracts in the past couple of weeks. Okay. In soybean meal, specs are net long by about 112,000 contracts. So you start to get the picture of why a seemingly bearish market offers some bullish opportunity.
Got it. Okay. Well, do you have any more insights on the soybean oil side that you want to talk about?
Sure. You know, funny, soybean oil is honestly probably the hardest one to peg because it really could go either way.
That's why we left it for the end.
That's why we left it for the end. That's the climax. Yeah. So So on one hand, those strong oil yields and sustained strength in crush could add to ending stocks for soybean oil. So when you look at the current U.S. balance sheet, it's assuming an average yield of 11.55 pounds per bushel. Now, say that yield is actually closer to 11.7 pounds per bushel. That higher yield, based on the current crush projection of about 1.95 billion bushels, would amount to an additional 292 million pounds of soybean oil production. Now, all other things being equal, you add that to the current ending stocks projection, and you get over 1.8 billion pounds of ending stocks as opposed to the current projection of around 1.5 billion pounds. But if these other factors in the rest of the soy complex keep the market nervous and soybean meal values remain inflated, it would almost certainly eventually spill over into soybean oil futures. And we can't forget what's expected to be a significant increase in demand this year via biodiesel. The biodiesel blender's credit was recently reinstated. And with numbers available through November of last year, it appears usage of soy oil for its production was up by about 3% versus the year prior. Now, I'd caution folks to also consider that the 2017-18 projection for use may be a little high, with a projected 20% increase of usage over the year prior. So long story short, we could see some crop year gains for soy oil ending stocks from that perspective as well.
Excellent. Okay, so let's wrap all this up. Listeners out there are probably asking the question, okay, well, how about expectation for futures and what should I do?
Well, that's a good question. So in terms of the soy and soy meal piece of things, I do think we'll continue to see prices trend a little higher, at least until we get some firmer numbers in terms of acreage expectations for this year, i.e. the prospective plantings report at the end of March.
Got it.
And continue to monitor the crush rate and whether or not these monthly levels keep coming in higher than the year prior. As far as soybean oil is concerned, I think we'll see prices range between 32, 33 cents a pound on the future side of things. From a basis standpoint, crude soybean oil basis has been under a little bit of pressure in the central Midwest, call it central Illinois. You're at around 150 points under the board for crude soybean oil basis right now, which is a little weaker than a couple of weeks ago. So probably looking at a scenario where we're bottoming out a bit as far as that basis is concerned.
Okay.
But definitely keep your eye on upcoming NOPA reports on crush and what we're getting in terms of firmer numbers for that soybean oil yield per bushel.
Got it. Great. Well, that was an awesome recap, Nicole. Yeah, you do a great job, but I'm biased.
Thank you. I appreciate that, though.
But and I want everybody to have a great weekend. A couple things to remind everybody is that April 25th, you could see Nicole live in person if you want at our spring seminar. And we have a lot of great different things we're talking about. It's about forecasting the future. And if you want to come, it's at the La Meridian in Oak Brook, Illinois on April 25th, a full day packed of great information and intelligence. You can register online. And I'll tell you what, if you're interested, you should probably do it soon because spaces are filling up as people are signing up for the conference. And then also, we talked about it before, Nicole. I don't know how excited you are, but I'm super excited about our online platform that's going to be launched in here in the next couple months. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to use it myself.
Yeah, I think clients are going to love that. Access at your fingertips.
At your fingertips. That's what we like to say. But thank you again, Nicole. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you, Michael. Same here.
You have a good weekend. And everybody else, safe and live with an attitude of gratitude, as we always say. Until next week, guys, have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also, follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.